So Jensen says the messaging filtered through the media often fails us. That's because those messages are bound up in scientific and political complexities. But some news stories are deceptively, beguilingly simple. A child with cancer needs money. You can save him. This next story comes from Amanda Aronchik, a reporter for WNYC's new health podcast, Only Human.
All cancer stories start at diagnosis. For 8-year-old David Grover, it came in 2003. His jaw hurt. And his father, Brian Grover, assumed it would be a short visit to the hospital in Fairfax.
Yeah, I mean, we went in to get him hydrated and didn't come out for a year and a half. And we were still in and out of the hospital for the better part of 2.5 years, roughly.
Once David was admitted, Brian shuttled between the hospital, his job at a computer company, and raising his 3 older boys. His wife, Tiffany, essentially moved into David's room. Her company reduced her pay, reduced her hours, let her go.
She only missed one night, I think. Was it two? Two nights. They kicked her out of the hospital because she was really sick, and I came in. And she said, no, call me and wake me up in 4 hours. And I refused to do it, and she slept for about 19.
Their son had a grapefruit-sized tumor filling the cavities of his skull, pressing on his throat and obstructing his breathing. Tiffany said the standard treatments, like chemo, were disastrous.
Where most people nausea vomiting, for David, nausea vomiting, and would shut down an organ. Something totally unexpected. And that was one of the reasons they didn't, his prognosis was so bleak.
The family was advised to procure a do not resuscitate order. Doctors said,
find yourself a grave site.
Sometimes the doctors were assholes.
It's hard to fathom a worse nightmare, but Brian and Tiffany believe in God, family, and a good laugh, probably in that order, and they refuse to wallow. And David is their kid. When he decided that the hospital toys were lame, he didn't feel sorry for himself. He used his wish from Make-A-Wish to buy games for the other inpatient kids.
At this time, you have this little boy who had given away his Make-A-Wish, which, first of all, to me, that's outstanding. I mean, a kid can have whatever they want for their Make-A-Wish, and he didn't want it.
The local paper picked up that story. Then one quirky, heartwarming story begat another. The Washington Post found out the family was raising money for an experimental treatment in Los Angeles by selling shoes, purses, old jeans on eBay. Anything they could fix a price to, they were selling. Then Tiffany auctioned a bumper sticker.
Brian had made bumper stickers, made 5 of them, that said, Frank must die.
David named his tumor Frankenstein, Frank for short, hence Frank must die. eBay wasn't new, but these were what you might call the experimental years. People were selling all sorts of weird things, their souls, their towns, their virginity, and famously a half-eaten, decade-old grilled cheese sandwich with the image of the Virgin Mary burnt into the toast, which sold for a ridiculous sum of money.
20-some-odd thousand, maybe more? Crazy money. And I'm like, you know what? If somebody's going to buy a grilled cheese, maybe they'll buy a bumper sticker and we'll get a couple $100.
Tiffany posted her Frank Must Die bumper sticker for 99 cents. She labeled the auction, Help Kill My Son's Cancer. But that's not what she was selling. So eBay took down the auction. Outrage ensued. Outrage equals more media.
From NBC News, this is Today.
At this point, David Grover had endured 2 years of chemo and radiation. He could take no more of either. The family faced a choice. Get a craniotomy to peel back David's face to remove the now peach pit-sized tumor, or take their son home and, quote, enjoy the rest of his time. Tiffany found a doctor in L.A. who thought he could remove the tumor through the nose. Now, at this point, David Grover was a leading news item. A Today Show producer told the doctor about David and eBay. He offered to do the surgery for free. They flew to L.A. and were greeted by a swarm of reporters.
I mean, we're in L.A. at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Everybody that's, you know, an actor goes here. I'm sure it's somebody like Tom Hanks is here. No, it was all for David, which was crazy.
Post-surgery, the Today Show even got exclusive rights to this declaration.
Doctor, walk us through what the prognosis was. You have some good news to share with us.
We do indeed. We can tell today that Frank has left the building.
David Grover was tumor-free, and his family, flown back to Los Angeles for more media appearances, were bi-coastal cancer celebrities.
Here she is now, Ellen DeGeneres.
Sitting on a couch beside Ellen DeGeneres, David looked small. His glasses sit on his ears that stick out a bit, and he has a crooked smile. In his striped jersey, he looked adorable.
During this time, you decided to name the tumor.
I named it Frank because I was afraid of Frankenstein when I was littler, and it helped me conquer my fears.
So it's your 10th birthday, and we have a few surprises for you. First of all, who's your favorite band?
Kiss.
Really? Look.
The band apparently flew in on their own dime. Tiffany says that Gene Simmons gently helped David try on his boots backstage. He brought out the loving dad in Gene Simmons. For the most part, the family welcomed the attention. It had been very helpful. But the media had expectations and demands.
We had just gotten back, and one of the local news segments wanted to do a follow-up, which was fine. David was on this... Was it this couch? No, it was the older couch. Yeah. Just resting. And the gentleman doing the interview is like, can't he get up and do something?
The family had really opened the doors to the media. The public held its breath in the hospital waiting room, applauded when David was cancer-free, and felt free to dole out helpful advice.
We should give him coffee enemas, or we should put crystals around him. I mean, a lot of quackery came from the media attention. People felt they just wanted to find something to fix what was going on, to cure him.
It got darker.
We were getting a lot of emails saying, well, you should just take him to Switzerland, let him die. You need to put him down like a dog. You exploiting your child so you can take all this money. You gave him cancer.
Eventually, they shut down the message board and unlisted their phone number. But on David's 12th birthday, he could still be seen on television.
They said that I'm pretty good. I'm Ned.
Uh-huh. You're Ned. What's that? I'm Ellen. How are you? What's Ned?
Ned means no evidence of diseases.
Oh, good. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
They were on the Ellen show repeatedly. She gave him his own name-plated seat. David said he wanted to be an Egyptologist.
An Egyptologist?
Yeah.
So yeah. You'd have to go to Egypt to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You want to go there.
Yeah.
Be fun
and I
to go there.
In 5 years.
Yeah. Well, what if we help you go there?
A week in Egypt. And wait, there's more.
The $25,000 You Promise College Fund interest-bearing account that starts growing right now. And so we're starting you off with this $25,000 for a college.
David is cancer-free and has been for years, but he's having a lot of memory issues. He reads at a fifth-grade level. Ellen's big check, hanging on the wall of Grover's suburban home, will stay there.
I can't do anything with it because it's in a 529, and a 529 has to be used for education. So it would be great if we could actually use it for David's jaw replacement. You can't take it out unless you want to be taxed and double taxed. So it's just going to sit there, and maybe someday we'll use it for the grandkids if that's what David wants to do with it. We don't know.
The media attention tapered off around 2008.
You said that when I called you initially that nobody had been in touch in years.
No, nobody.
Why do you think nobody had been in touch?
Because the feel-good story was over. He lived. They just want the good part. Although I have my boy back, the boy that was admitted to the hospital when he was a little boy is not the same boy that came out.
The Grovers say that they were not warned about all the effects, the side effects, the late effects, the many, many effects of treatment. Yes, you always sign your consent before radiation, but
it's kind of like when you sign your agreement for your iPhone.
It's hard to process the fine print. And the radiation he received was very aggressive. And he was such a little kid.
The radiation has caused him to have cataract, and his jaw is being reabsorbed and will eventually have to be totally removed and replaced with porcelain or a cadaver bone or titanium, something. You can look at his feet there and see that he's got foot drop, and they're shaped weird, almost like club feet in some way. So he's got lots of physical issues.
David, sitting on my right, is quietly listening.
He still looks a lot like he did when he was on TV, but he's taller and heavier. His parents do not shield him from these medical details. It's his life.
Has it been rough?
It has. I mean, basically, it took part of my life away. It took part of my school life away.
It took your school life away because you couldn't go to school?
Correct.
David is hard to read. In a way, he seems frozen in time. Much younger than his 20 years. And his doctor says the radiation he endured more than a decade ago continues to seep into his body and mind and might make things worse.
Did you mind all the attention? Did you get to a point where you're like, eh, I don't want to do this anymore?
A little bit sometimes. I just got tired of it sometimes.
Does this feel kind of exhausting, by the way, to have met with me twice and be telling this? Why not?
Because I haven't done it in a while.
10 years ago, it really seemed like anything was possible for David Grover. He survived against so many odds. With a love of many he didn't even know. But the world can't fix everything. And anyway, it always moves on. It hardly ever looks back. For On the Media, I'm Amanda Aronchik.
Coming up, the language of cancer and its side effects.
My name is Cece. I'm calling from New York City. And I developed breast cancer at the age of 23. There are a lot of cancer words that make me cringe, but the one that comes to mind is cured. I never know what to say when people ask me if I'm cured. Yes, I'm doing better, but I will always have this looming threat of reoccurrence, and I am still dealing with a lot of the after effects of my treatment. I really don't think that anybody can say with confidence that they are cured.
My name is Paige, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, and I don't like the word cancer survivor because depending on the kind of cancer, you're not going to be a cancer survivor. And then there's people who call themselves cancer survivors when really they're just cancer, like, waiters. You know, it's more like cancer purgatory.
This is On the Media. This show is produced in collaboration with WNYC's Health Unit. They have a new podcast that takes a fearless look at health. It's called Only Human. If you like good stories, stories of life and death, listen and subscribe at onlyhuman.org.